Lebanon, Iraq, two foreign policy problems President Bush will likely discuss with NATO Secretary General. The two men are at the president's Texas ranch today.
Domestically, President Bush has immigration and the U.S. attorney scandal to worry about. Joining us now to talk about all these pressures the president is under is NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hi, good to be with you.
Well, first of all, what effect does the current fighting in Lebanon have on the general U.S. policy in the Middle East, in particular with Iraq, and then in particular with the president's standoff with the Democrats in Congress over funding in Iraq?
It depends on what it turns into over the next days. As Rami Khoury was just saying, the origins of some of this violence are a bit obscure. The portent of it is hard to predict, but it is another strain. The president is heavily invested in the Sanura government in Beirut, and we've been trying to keep the influence of Syria at bay there. So all kinds of things could happen going forward in this. And at the very minimum, it's another distraction from what the president's been trying to concentrate on, as you suggest, his negotiations with the Democrats over getting funding for the war that goes on in Iraq. And here, the Democrats broke off after the president or his negotiators refused to consider any kind of a benchmark or timetable whatsoever in the legislation that they were preparing for the troop funding. And so now Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has said the Democrats will write their own bill, and we'll see what happens to that. But it's possible this funding will not happen before the Memorial Day weekend. And that could mean Congress does not go away for a Memorial Day holiday. They will try to stay here and hammer something out the president can sign.
Also domestically, there's still the situation with Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to deal with. The Senate's threatening a vote of no confidence if the Attorney General doesn't resign.
And that would be a highly unusual gesture. It's really not even part of our system. It's more of a British parliamentary kind of thing. And it would not oust Gonzalez legally, but it would, of course, make it all the more difficult for him to continue at the Justice Department. Over the weekend, one key senator on the Republican side said that really the Attorney General ought to resign and prevent the necessity of the Senate having such a no-confidence vote. But that vote could come this week, or it could come very early after the Memorial Day recess, if the Attorney General wants to stand in there, and all signs are that he wants to, and the White House wants him to as well.
Okay, Ron, let's talk about some strange bedfellows and the immigration deal. This was an immigration deal put out in part by Senator Edward Kennedy. The president is signing on to it. So, I mean, that's a little odd, isn't it?
It's odd, but sometimes in the past, this has really been the genius of a president, particularly in the second term, trying to restore his power in Washington a little bit by dealing with the other party. We saw Ronald Reagan on the tax revisions of 1986, Clinton on the welfare overhaul in 1996, the Bush campaign finance revisions in 2002 after the Enron scandal. But this case is different because this president, compared to all those other situations, is at a weak ebb in his presidency. All of those other presidencies were at 50 or even 60% popularity, and with the president down in the 30s, it's very hard for him to provide much more than a signature on a bill like this. And what's really required is for the president to deliver his party. He needs 50, 60, 70 Republican votes in the House, and he needs to hold the Republicans together in the Senate. And right now, it's more probable that those weak approval ratings are going to get still lower among some of his Republican faithful because of his being in favor of this immigration deal.
Ron, real quick, today there's talk of moving up Florida's primary way up to January 29th. How is that going to affect the presidential nomination?
Well, that's bad news, first of all, for South Carolina, which had hoped to have the spotlight on that particular day, right after the New Hampshire primary a week before. And now Florida really becomes the trigger primary for the South, or so it would seem. And the bigger question is, how will that affect the dozen or so states that had already moved up to February 5th, including California, New York, and Texas? How is that going to be affected by whatever Florida does? It's just a race to the top.
Ron Elving is NPR senior Washington editor. Thanks so much, Ron.
Thank you both.